Try again. This is Kaya Nunes from the first years. Okay, welcome, Kaya. So, really similar to last time, just go through with Chantel, fill her in on your theme, your discipline of choice, and what you're up to at the moment with your experimentation.
Well, my theme is like fungi fantasy, so it's like a bit trippy with like mushrooms and everything. And I'm gonna do like 3D fine art, but I've been playing around with clay a lot. I haven't done a whole lot in my sketchbook because I've been doing more experiments. Because at the beginning I was doing a lot of artist research. And I'll just show you. This is the beginning of the course. It's more here. I looked at Stephen Axford and Jen Stark a lot because I liked how his photography of mushrooms were like, they'd glow in the dark.
Yeah, the bioluminescence.
Yeah, and I liked Jen Stark's because it was like colourful and trippy and it just fit what I wanted to do. And then,
so what are you trying to communicate? Is it the properties of certain mushrooms in hallucinogens and stuff like that? Have you got some research in here?
No, I'm working on it now. Because
make sure you've got that, because that justifies why you're doing what you're doing.
But I wanted to do like an installation piece at first, but then I realized I was being overly ambitious and I thought, instead of like stressing about time and everything, I'll do something smaller, and so I started looking into like little book nooks.
Yes,
little world and little box. So like I made like a quick little book nook.
Are there any stories like Disney stories or anything
that Alice in Wonderland
involve these sort of things?
There's also another one. Can you remember it? I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah. Because that might be a good way of justifying the book nook. Yeah, it's the relating this theme of sort of hallucinogens and sort of like going into another universe or whatever through books, illustrations that have happened. So then you're creating book nooks. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah? So one thing is informing the other. Okay, so maybe some research into different stories where not just mushrooms, but other sort of substances have been consumed in order to sort of alter the mind or alter reality or alter the landscape that the person is in, that the character is experiencing. There might be plenty of historical ones. I mean, have you done any research? You said you've done your research into specific mushrooms that cause...
Yeah, I'm doing that now.
Okay.
Because Sarah gave me, like, a suggestion on, like, doing different book nooks on, like, different mushrooms and their different environments, which I kind of like.
Qualities.
Yeah. So I really like that. But I'll just develop my idea as I go on, obviously.
Okay, so what do you imagine your display is going to look like? What's going to be in there? I don't need to know details, but is it like 20 of these things or
yeah, maybe not 20 but like a few of different sizes, so maybe smaller ones like this size, just so it's like a variety of sizes.
Okay.
I did have like a smaller one of these, but it was like with it just wasn't working out because things just kept falling out, so I just did a bigger one where I actually hot glued stuff with air dry clay, like a proper model.
Okay.
And I got real moss because I did ask Andy about like anything that I could use as like a substance that would be kind of like moss but not actual moss, and he just gave me actual moss.
Well, maybe that's where you need to do a bit of an investigation and not just rely on whatever Andy has got to hand, you know, exploring mini worlds, like how people create them, like the different processes and techniques that they use. You know, sort of like model train enthusiastic-y people who create these tiny little worlds, like mini trees and mini bushes and, you know, astroturf grass and things like that. You might take a trip to the, there's a model railway making shop in the little arcade that's down from the hospital. Christ, I can't even remember what it's called. But you might just go there and like take some pictures, you know, of like things in miniature. How are they made? What are they made out of? Certainly I would think about, because this is going to rot.
Yeah, it won't last.
Stuff like cotton wool.
Yeah.
Spray painted.
That sort of thing.
I did find fake wire moth wool on Amazon. I found fake moth in like, I think, 300 grams of it. So I was thinking maybe ordering that.
If you can financially invest, absolutely. But maybe whilst you're waiting for that to come down or whatever, maybe you do little experiments using cotton wool, you know, like the cotton wool pads, but you can get like the big blobs of cotton wool, and spray painting it, that sort of thing. So you end up with like a little sort of like micro test sheet of like different ways of reproducing the moss as a little experiment, because I think that's maybe the only gap we've got in at the moment, from what I can see visually, is obvious, is the experimentation into different materials of how to create these things that you've got going on in here. The air drying clay is like pretty good, but is, are there any other materials that you can make these mushrooms out of? Like wire and papier-mâché over the top of them, and, you know, just seeing what alternatives there are. Yeah?
Yeah, I did see this thing where I was going to try it out, but then I was also, Sarah told me about Andy getting some new air-drying clay, so I tried that before I tried this new thing, and it's like water, glue, and like paper. And then like when you like, you can like mould it and everything, it's a bit like clay. And then it like dries with more texture. So that was kind of like paper mache, but like more mixed.
But the way to experiment in a smart way, say you took just the same shape mushroom, like this little one here, but you produced it in papier mache, you produced it in chicken wire with modrock on it, you produced it with like cocktail sticks and, you know, other things glued together. You haven't altered the shape of the mushroom, you just like tried some easy low tech kind of techniques and materials to explore what the alternatives are in terms of the materials that you could use to produce them. That is the way to experiment smart.
Okay.
So I'd recommend that you do that. I would also recommend, I can see you've taken some bits of mushrooms, but have you done much drawing? I've done like these little ones.
Well, I was trying to do other things first, so I was trying to make a psychedelic effect, which I ended up doing first a drawing of like a drip effect, and that was like a response to Jen Stark's work with like Posca pens. And then I tried doing some marbling with like paper and oil paints. So I have a few of them here. Some of them didn't go well. Some of them did. So like this one.
What I would kind of be encouraging you to do as well with these is papier mâcheing with them. It's like on your mushroom caps. There's something like this. Because you're trying to communicate like the sort of fantastical fantasy kind of aspect of fungi, but you're still recreating actual fungus, actual mushrooms, whereas you have the opportunity to apply a bit of fantasy to this, where you could be using these as the mushroom cap. Like, what do you think?
I love that idea, because it, originally, I thought you wanted to create forms that were covered in this psychedelic print and stuff. And it's in your maquette, you've put it on the walls of your little box. So I completely understand where Chantal's point of view is coming from. So I think going forward, you experiment with creating the mushrooms in a psychedelic way as well.
Mm.
Yeah. But I like where you're going with this. I don't know if you went, do you know Sophie T? UK.
Mm.
I went to her studio in London when we were over there, and I found this really lovely like pinholes type wall. If I just show you, you'll like understand. Where you look through these little peepholes and into mini worlds. Bear with me. Getting there.
Because I guess that was my next question. You're describing these as book nooks, but that only works on the premise that they're on a bookshelf in between books. So is that what you imagine you're going to have in your display?
Yeah, it's one of the ideas I wanted to sort of...
A library?
Kind of, yeah. And then I can have them around and up and stuff. Uh-huh. But then I just wasn't like 100% sure on like the presentation. I knew I wanted to do a few little ones instead of doing one big installation. So,
because maybe calling them book nooks is like we need to expand on that a little bit, like Sarah's describing to me, sort of like this idea of like you're encouraging the viewer to sort of like look through a small space, and suddenly they've got like a big world presented to them. So, if you imagine that this is just a window into somewhere that people stare into, but you make the view hole even smaller.
Like, it could be that you use an exhibition room, but you just shut the door, or put a piece of ply there with these holes cut out in your work on the other side.
Yeah. I did it when I was at university, so my final degree display was meant to look like just any other wall in people's houses with family pictures put up, but I had built these fake boxes to the back of the picture frames, and the contents inside was representative of all my different family members, so I'd made things that in my opinion represented them. So from what people could see, it looked like flat images on a wall until they got up to it and that they realized that there was depth to what they were seeing. I think you need to do some exploration, some research into that, because it seems like you've got an idea fixed. There's some experimental material techniques that you might need to do, that those little mushroom processes, little mossy processes, maybe going visiting the little model place down from the hospital would be a good idea, ordering that stuff from Amazon. But alongside that, you need to think about how you're going to present these. Right, because I don't know if having them on a bookshelf is going to be appropriate anymore. Yeah? Because the whole thing about book nooks is that they're, I guess, communicating some kind of story, right? Whereas this is communicating like a sort of like more conceptual idea, So maybe looking at conceptual ways of presenting small worlds, you know, like shadow boxes and things like that, you know, might be what you need to do. And maybe you don't need a room. Maybe you need a fake wall.
Yeah,
I feel like fake wall, but it's not my project. It's just a suggestion.
I like it. Yeah.
Okay, but bear in mind the time that we've got left. Okay.
Don't forget May. You've got 2 short weeks at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then after that, 2 weeks till the end of May, and then it's exhibition.
Yeah.
So time is
of the
escaping
essence
now. But you've got a good theme. It's solid. You've done some experimenting. I think I've written you some notes with Chantal's support to develop it a bit further. But I think you're doing really well, Kaya. How do you feel about it?
I mean, I'm excited to have the exhibition. Like, I want to do well. I think by May, I think the pressure's really going to hit.
It's May in...
Next week. After the end of next week.
So So it's really close.
Yeah.
Start looking at your calendar going, okay, well, if I've got
you
this
kind
many
of
weeks,
need to work backwards.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you know when the private view date is, presumably. Prior to that, it's going to be setting up the show. You, in my opinion, should have your final pieces finished the week before. So you've got all of that time to just dedicate to your display, writing your artist statement, getting a comments put together, because it's not just about putting up the show. There's other things that have to happen as well. So you need to then make a decision about when you're going to start these. And cardboard is a good maquette, but in order for these to be presentable, maybe you need to be making these boxes out of MDF in the workshop. You also need to think about whether or not you want people to interact with these, okay? Because believe me, I make smashable things, okay? And even if I put signs that say, do not touch, people touch, okay? So you might think, well, do I need to have this enclosed so that people can just look at it but not access it? Also, I like that you've got your mirror here, but it's quite dark in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, like those little sticky LED lights?
Yeah, people usually put lights in them, yeah.
You might investigate that.
Yeah.
Yeah? Now, I know that we have got some black light sensitive pigment somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to paint some of that on top of the mushrooms, again, so they sort of glow. They've got that
bioluminescence.
Yeah. Along with, like, the fake moss, I was also going to get, like, neon paint and glow-in-the-dark neon paint.
Cool. If you can financially invest,
don't cripple yourself.
But
there'll be an alternative.
Yeah, we can certainly find alternatives. But in principle, I like the idea. I like the idea of little mini little scenes that you look into and they'll be all glowy and stuff. I think there's some question marks over the presentation.
Yeah.
You need to produce what I like to call fag pack drawings, where you're thinking about your display, plan A, B, C, you know, thinking about what's achievable in the time frame. Maybe it's just one box, but one big box. Yeah?
Yeah.
That you can give loads of energy to. Okay? Cool. Yeah.
Fabulous, Kaya. Mm-hmm. Thank you.